Just because there's no intimacy doesn't mean there's no love, you see. If you look out at the trees standing tall for so long, no matter what happens, they keep standing strong. It has been proven that we have a connection like no other. But we have to learn how to be honest and how to trust one another. In my mind, you are beautiful all the time. My love hasn't changed. It still remains the same. I'm just giving you space to grow, and I'm giving myself space to live what I know. It seems as if we are growing apart, not expressing our feelings and shutting down our hearts. I believe that's what we've done in the past. That's why a relationship can never last. In my mind, I miss you all the time. But all I can do is give you the best of me and support and love you like my family. All I ask of you is to give me the best of you. And who knows, we just might make it through. So let's not have an ending that we've all seen before. Let's love and support each other until we get it right, or until we just can't stand it anymore. 'Cause in my mind, I love you all the time. In my mind, I love you all the time. In my mind, I love you all the time.
friends, and welcome to Conversations with Goddess M on High Frequency Radio Network. I am Melani Shawnee, aka Goddess M, your host and self-discovery guide for the evening. Thank you so much for joining me this evening. Those of you who are on the phone and in the chat room, welcome. We appreciate your presence here. The intro song that you just heard, one was In My Mind, the first one, and that was from my CD, Revealed, Now You Know. And the second one was, of course, our theme song, Return of the Goddess, and that's by a really good friend of mine, Tabitha. And I wanted to make sure that you guys, if you're interested in getting that those either one of those CDs, that you have the information that you needed. So for my CD, Revealed Now You Know, you can go to chatwiththegoddess@gmail.com and send me your information and your interest, and I will get back with you. And for Return of the Goddess, you can go to tabitha@gmail.com, and she'll make sure that you can get a copy of her CD. So I hope you all had a wonderful week this week. It was a little bit of a tough week for me, but I got through it, and I'm excited that I moved through it well. I hope that you moved through your week well as well. It's a tough time, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. You know, it's a tough time, and we really want to move through this time easily and effortlessly. And one of the ways that we're going to do that is to strengthen our relationships and balance and harmonize in that area. So today we're going to talk a lot about relationships. We're going to talk about the five love languages, which is one of my favorite books. And one of my favorite subjects is love. So thank you to all of you again who have agreed to join us today and to be fully present and take this journey to discover more about love and relationships and to explore your love languages. We want to support you so you can repair and restore harmony and balance to your relationships with yourself and relationships in every area of your life. So I appreciate you for being here. I appreciate all of your email, the amazing reviews about the show that you're sending in, and your support, requests for consultations. We are so appreciative and offer you Goddess love and light in every area of your life for showing up and expressing your thoughts about the show. So for those of you who've never been with us, this is your first time, we want to just share the intention for the show, Conversations with Goddess M, and that is to provide a no-judgment zone where you can relax, grow, listen, learn, and speak your truth with love. The foundation of our show is relationships. We want to activate, inspire, support, and elevate you so that you can strengthen your existing relationships and attract new, loving, and healthy relationships in every area of your life. We invite you to call in and share in the conversation with us. We definitely want to hear your comments and questions. If you want to speak or if you have questions, you can call in at 424-222-5250 and just press 1 if you want to comment, because this is Conversations with Goddess M, and it doesn't work without you. So August is going to be Love Month here on Conversations with Goddess M. In my travels, I work with lots of couples and singles, and I get a lot of questions about relationships and love. So I thought it would be great to create some conversation around love this month. And today we're going to talk about the five love languages and how we use those languages and how it supports us when we're speaking our mates, our friends, our family members, love language. It's so important. So it's not just really about intimate relationships. It's about our relationships as a whole. We definitely want to speak our friends, family, intimate, work. We want to speak everybody's love language because it definitely helps us to relate more. And I wanted to take love out of we have love in this content of emotional. You know, that love is this emotional thing that we give and take as we see fit or as we feel like it. And we don't want to look at love that way. So I'm hoping by the end of this show, you'll have a different concept about love and how you see it and how you express it or vibrate it out into the world. So we want to give you tools, whatever tools we can discover that will help us to be more in tune and deepen our connection with our inner spirit and energize and revitalize us daily so we can make the best choices for our life in this transitional time. Whenever we're in transition, we definitely want to gather all the tools that we can to help us move through this transition easily and effortlessly. So today we want to give you tools on how to communicate better or have a healthier communication in your relationship. So as always, we ground and anchor before we go into our subject matter. And so today, we're going to come back to our truth theorem, which is our segment where we have inspirational moments being used to inspire you to activate that information inside of you that is lying dormant and waiting to illuminate your greatness. So everything that you're hearing from me and when you're listening to YouTube or you're reading a book, everything that you're getting, you already know. It's already inside of you. To teach and educate just simply means to bring forth. And so we want to inspire you to bring forth all of that information that is in you, to bring that forth and use it now in this time of transition. Everybody right now is going through transition. Some people are going through different transitions than others, but everybody is moving through and changing. Change happens every single day. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and I was like, look, we have to get used to change. It's just, when you get up in the morning, you know, what I say in the morning is, what is in store for me today? I'm open. I surrender, because getting up in the morning thinking your day is going to be the same or looking for that same feeling or situation that you had the other day, can't get it, it's really frustrating, and it moves us into this space where we can't really be authentic. We can't be who we really are because we're looking for this feeling that we had before or this experience that we had before. And right now is a time where we just have to be open to change. We really have to surrender to our authentic self, to our spirit, because a lot of times our humanity wants to come out front, you know, be dominant and tell us what to do and be angry and have all of these reactions to what's going on in the world and all of this. And the truth is, we don't want to harm our humanity. We don't want to kill off our humanity. But what we do want to do is speak to our humanity in a way that our spirit can come forth and that we can have a balanced existence. It's so important that we have balance in our existence and that our humanity is not taken over and out in charge. Because our humanity is connected to our ego. And we definitely don't want to have our humanity out here in charge without our spirit to balance that out. So now we're being prompted to be more spiritually connected and grounded and balanced. And so we thank our humanity for housing us, housing our spirit, and for providing the temple for us. But now is the time where we really have to allow our spirit to come forward and to lead us, because we have to be in tune and know what the next step needs to be in our lives. So very, very important. So that's another reason why we want to talk to you about relationships, because relationships, I think, are very important for us as mirrors. A lot of times when we're out here and we're kind of hanging by ourselves and being single or being solitary, we think we're okay. We've been solitary a long time. We're like, okay, I got this. I'm good. And then we get into some type of relationship and wow, it's just like, woo, all kinds of things start coming out. And so we want to make sure that we are really working on ourselves, and relationships are really our mirrors. They come to us to mirror the things that we may need to work out, mirror the things we need to heal, and also to mirror the things that are beautiful about us and wonderful about us. It's so important that we know this, that we're not in this illusion of solitude, that we're, you know, okay, and I was okay before I met you. Well, the truth is you were okay, but it's time for you now to grow. It's time for you to stretch. It's time for you to expand. And that's what we want to do on this show. We want to help you to expand and stretch a little bit so that you can be all that you come here to be and not just a little bit. Because most of us never really reach our full potential in life. We never really get there. And we want to get there because that's why we're here. So our relationships have a lot to do with that. and being our mirrors and showing us where we need to do the work and how we need to work. So that's why we chose this subject. We're going to be talking about this, love and relationships, all about love in August. We have some very interesting videos that we're going to suggest that you watch. So one of the things I suggested when I was sending out the link for the show is that you go to 5lovelanguages.com and get your find out what your love language is. And so if you haven't done that, we want you to go ahead and do that, because later on we want to open up the phone lines and we want to find out what your love language is. And if you've known your love language for a little bit and you've been working with it in your relationships, we definitely want to hear what's working for you, what's not working for you. And if you just are finding out your love language because of this show, we definitely want to assist you in knowing more of how you can use your love language and also help others to speak your love language as well. So we're going to go ahead and move right into our truth serum today and talk about, we're going to be speaking from the book, 5 Love Languages by Gary Chapman today. Excellent book. It basically talks a lot about marriage and couples, but I think it's an excellent book for anyone who's in a relationship who has a mate, because a lot of the concepts that he shares in his book has it, we can use relationship wide. So we're going to start our truth serum. We're going to read a little bit from Gary Chapman's book, 5 Love Languages, and really delve into what this is all about and how we can really use these languages to support us through this time. I wanted to go back and just tell you what the love languages are so you could kind of marinate on it while we're going through this. So the 5 love languages are words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. And so those are the 5 love languages. And everybody has like a primary love language. Sometimes you may have 2 primary love languages. I have a friend who has 2 primary. His is physical touch and words of affirmation. So for him, you got to, you know, you got to do both. So we'll talk about that a little bit later, but I want to get into, I don't want to get ahead of myself. So those are the 5 love languages. So just marinate on that a little bit while we move forward. So I'm going to be reading a little bit from Gary Chapman's book, 5 Love Languages. And the name of this chapter is called Reality Intrudes. Welcome to the real world of marriage, where hairs are always on the sink and little white spots cover the mirror, where arguments center on which way the toilet paper comes off and whether the lid should be up or down. It is a world where shoes do not walk to the closet and drawers do not close themselves, where coats do not like hangers and socks go AWOL during laundry. In this world, a look can hurt and a word can crush. Intimate lovers can become enemies and marriage a battlefield. What happened to the in love experience? Alas, it was but an illusion by which we were tricked into signing our names on the dotted line, for better or for worse. No wonder so many have come to curse marriage and the partner whom they once loved. After all, if we were deceived, we have a right to be angry. Did we really have the real thing? I think so. The problem was faulty information. The bad information was the idea that the in-love obsession would last forever. We should have known better. A casual observation should have taught us that if people remained obsessed, we would all be in serious trouble. The shock waves would rumble through business, industry, church, education, and the rest of society. Why? Because people who are in love lose interest in other pursuits. That is why we call it obsession. The college student who falls head over heels in love sees his grades tumbling. It is difficult to study when you are in love. Tomorrow you have a test on the War of 1812, but who cares about the War of 1812? When you're in love, everything else seems irrelevant. A man said to me, "Dr. Chapman, my job is disintegrating." "What do you mean?" I asked. "I met this girl, fell in love, and I can't get a thing done. I can't keep my mind on my job. I spend my day dreaming about her." The euphoria of the in-love state gives us the illusion that we have an intimate relationship. We feel that we belong to each other. We believe we can conquer all problems. We feel altruistic towards each other. As one young man said about his fiance, "I can't conceive of doing anything to hurt her. My only desire is to make her happy. I would do anything to make her happy." Such obsession gives us the false sense that our egocentric attitudes have been eradicated and we have become sort of Mother Teresa, willing to give anything for the benefit of our lover. The reason we can do that so freely is that we sincerely believe our lover feels the same way towards us. We believe that she is committed to meeting our needs. He loves us as much as we love him and would never do anything to hurt us. That thinking is always fanciful. Not that we are insecure in what we think and feel, but we are unrealistic. We fail to reckon with the reality of human nature. By nature, we are egocentric. Our world revolves around us. None of us is totally altruistic. The euphoria of the in-love experience only gives us that illusion. Once the experience of falling in love has run its natural course, remember, the average in-love experience lasts only about 2 years. We will return to the world of reality and begin to assert ourselves. He will express his desires, but his desires will be different from hers. He wants sex, but she's too tired. He dreams of buying a new car, but she flatly says, "We can't afford it." She would like to visit her parents, but he says, "I don't like spending so much time with your family." Little by little, the illusion of intimacy evaporates, and the individual desires, emotions, thoughts, and behavior patterns assert themselves. They are two individuals. Their minds have not melded together, and their emotions mingled only briefly in the ocean of love. Now the waves of reality began to separate them. They fall out of love, and at that point, either they withdraw, separate, divorce, and set off in search of a new in-love experience, or they begin the hard work of learning to love each other without the euphoria of the in-love obsession. Some couples believe that the end of the in-love experience means they have only two options: resign themselves to a life of misery with their spouse, or jump ship and try again. Our generation has opted for the latter, whereas an earlier generation often chose the former. Before we automatically conclude that we have made the better choice, perhaps we should examine the data. According to a substantial body of research, the divorce rate for second marriages is at least 60% and rises when children are involved. Research seems to indicate that there's a third and better alternative. We can recognize the in-love experience for what it was, a temporary emotional high, and now pursue real love with our spouse. That kind of love is emotional in nature, but not obsessional. It is a love that unites reason and emotion. It involves an act of the will and requires discipline, and it recognizes the need for personal growth. Our most basic emotional need is not to fall in love, but to genuinely be loved by another, to know a love that grows out of reason and choice, not instinct. I need to be loved by someone who chooses to love me, who sees in me something worth loving. That kind of love requires effort and discipline. It is the choice to expend energy in an effort to benefit the other person, knowing that if his or her life is enriched by your effort, you too will find a sense of satisfaction, the satisfaction of having genuinely loved another. It does not require the euphoria of the in-love experience. In fact, true love cannot begin until the in-love experience has run its course. We cannot take credit for the kind and generous things we do while under the influence of the obsession. We are pushed and carried along by an instinctual force that goes beyond our normal behavior patterns. But if, once we return to the real world of human choice, we choose to be kind and generous, that is real love. The emotional need for love must be met if we are to have emotional health. Married adults long to feel affection and love from their spouses. We feel secure when we are assured that our mate accepts us, wants us, and is committed to our well-being. During the in love stage, we felt all of those emotions. It was heavenly while it lasted. Our mistake was in thinking it would last forever. But that obsession was not meant to last forever. In the textbook of marriage, it is but the introduction. The heart of the book is rational, volitional love. That is the kind of love to which the sages have always called us. It is intentional. That is good news to the married couples who have lost all their in-love feelings. If love is a choice, then they have the capacity to love after the in-love obsession has died and they have returned to the real world. That kind of love begins with an attitude, a way of thinking. Love is the attitude that says, I am married to you and I choose to look out for your interests. Then the one who chooses to love will find appropriate ways to express that decision. So this is really awesome because I have spoken to hundreds of people and couples about this, really about this, he calls it the in love obsession. Like we get into relationships and it's like, oh, this person is the one for me and he does this and she does that. And we just have this feeling. It's just this chemistry is what I call it, because it's not really connection if it doesn't last. When you're connected, your connection never ceases. It never breaks. But the chemistry that you're feeling, the fireworks, the chemistry will cease. And according to Gary Chapman's book, Five Love Languages, it ceases after 2 years. So maybe before that, but that's through the research that's been done, it can last, that in-love obsession feeling lasts about 2 years and you're done. And so I want to cover a few things to be said because this is very, very powerful because he talks about how we have to have discipline to be in love. So once that in love obsession ends, that euphoria that we're feeling, that good feeling, now we have to really decide and make a choice as to whether we're really in love or not, whether this is really the relationship that we're going to be in. Is this really, do we really want to put forth the effort and the work and the discipline? A lot of times in relationships, those two things are null and void. You know, people say love shouldn't have to work. I'm like, really? Anything that is worth having, you have to work. Anything that's worthwhile, you have to work. There's commitment. There's discipline. There's work. And again, we talked about earlier that people are your mirrors. They're really showing you. And you may not recognize it because it may be an amplified version of you. Like they may be 10 times what you are because they've come to show you. So if they weren't 10 times what you are, then you wouldn't get it if they didn't amplify it. And a lot of times we don't get it because we're playing the blame game. They did this, they did that. But we need to really understand what love is all about and what love requires. Love requires these times when it gets tough, right after that obsession goes away and you have that euphoria. And now it's like, okay, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure that my mate knows that I'm here, that they're genuinely loved by me. Okay? Because what he says is, when we're finished with the obsession, he says, it is a love that unites reason and emotion, and it involves an act of the will and requires discipline, and it recognizes the need for personal growth. So when you come into a relationship, what are you looking for? Are you looking for somebody to save you, somebody to speak to your pain, somebody who doesn't do what the last person did? Or are you looking to step into a relationship to grow and heal? That may be a different concept for some of us, okay? But it's a real concept. It's a true concept because we do come into relationships for that reason, whether it's a friendship, whether it's an intimate ship, whatever it is, whether it's a workship. And if you really look at it, a lot of the experience that you've had that you may call bad experiences are really growth experience, if you really, really look at it. You came into the experience and, you know, you didn't really, you know, really like what happened, but you grew. You grew from it. And so that's the reason why we want to have this discussion, because we want you to look at love totally different. Because for me, love is a vibration that vibrates from you. Everybody who steps into your space should feel it. It's not about something that we give and take when we feel like it. You know, I love you. You didn't do what I wanted you to, so no, don't love you to that. It's not about that. And we don't think, when we think love, we don't think discipline. Some of us do think commitment. Some of us maybe think work, but we definitely don't think discipline. But when someone comes into your space and you're in a shared space and you're around that person all the time, why would you think you wouldn't need to make changes? So let's say if we're in a relationship and there's two single people coming together into a relationship, you can't bring your single into the relationship. Bring your authentic self, but don't bring your single. All of your, you know, stuff you do when you were single, especially if it's going to impact the other person in a negative way. You're going to have to shift. Can't come into a relationship with anybody and say, I'm not going to change. If it's going to be a healthy relationship, change is going to have to take place. On both parts, not just on one. So again, we're talking about all kinds of relationships. We're talking about in the family. We're talking, because a lot of people are growing now and making serious transitions in their lives. Like people are leaving their jobs and, you know, they're finding their spiritual path and, you know, people are, you know, leaving relationships and changing their complete and total person. And then they get upset because they feel like they don't have support from their family. But what I tell them is this, you're the one that's changing. They didn't change. They feel the same. And they're looking at you like, what are you doing? And the thing with you is being patient and understanding that you're the one that has changed. So everybody, you know, you're changing. You want everybody to jump on board and say, hey, woo, hoop, hoop, hip, hip, hooray. But it's not going to be that way initially. But you still have to continue on your path. Continue to do what is spoken to you. Continue to do what you feel is right and authentic for you. Because people will come along or not. We can't, our path can't be, our passion to live our path can't be based on who's accepting it and who's not. It has to be based on who we believe we are, who we know we are, and our connection with spirit and following that. And so whenever we come into relationships, we have to come in knowing that change is going to take place, that we're going to see a mirror of who we are in an amplified way, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so as we stated earlier, being open to change is going to be really important for us to be able to have good relationships. So you ask, Melanie, why are you talking about relationships? Why is this so important? You know, the thing is that I believe that we're moving to a different time. And I believe that the time that we're in is going to require us to do some different things. Maybe even have an exit strategy, or, you know, gather in communities, you know, just a whole different ball game. And a lot of times I'm thinking, okay, how are we going to gather in a community and we can't even get along with each other? We can't relate to each other. We can't talk to each other. We all over the place disagreeing. We're letting our humanness be out front. We will tear up a community. So for me, it's really important and part of my passion to really educate people about relationships and learning how to coexist. There's lots of queens and kings, or gods and goddesses, as we call them here on High Frequency, and everybody has their own kingdom and queendom. And we'll go out and we'll visit, you know, the other queens and kings and, you know, hang out with them. And then we go back into our own queendom and kingdom. And the key to our survival and peace of mind and spirit is going to be us being able to coexist as kings and queens. All of us being able to live and honor each other's king, queen, god, goddess. And so in order to do that, we're going to really have to relate. Okay? Respond rather than react. Understand the love language that the person or people are speaking in our community. Help them understand or understand your love language. But you need to know that. What is your language of love? How do you speak love? If you don't know, you certainly can't communicate it to someone else. It's key. How do you communicate, or how do you feel love? So I wanted to talk a little bit about what is love. I said to you earlier, for me, love is vibrational energy. It radiates from your being. It is pure light energy from your spirit. It is unconditional. It is embracing. It is fearless. And everyone who steps into your space can feel it. It's not that you have to do or be or create a certain persona. It just is. So let's look at what Gary Chapman says love is in his book, Five Love Languages. Love is a choice. How can we speak each other's love language when we are full of hurt, anger, and resentment over past failures? The answer to that question lies in the essential nature of our humanity. We are creatures of choice. That means that we have the capacity to make poor choices, which we all have done. We have spoken critical words and we have done hurtful things. We are not proud of those choices, although they may have seemed justified at the moment. Poor choices in the past don't mean that we must make them in the future. Instead, we can say, I'm sorry, I know I have hurt you, but I would like to make the future different. I would like to love you in your language. I would like to meet your needs. Love doesn't erase the past, but it makes the future different. When we choose active expressions of love in the primary love language of our spouse, we create an emotional climate where we can deal with our past conflicts and failures. This is very powerful, loved ones. I mean, because first of all, let's start with the first thing. Love is a choice. Everybody chooses to love or not in every situation. So if you're having a conversation with someone and it's volatile or it's getting ugly, you can choose in that moment to love, and you can say, I would like to love you in your language. I'm sorry, I know I hurt you. Because the truth is, no matter what your intention is, your intention may have been wonderful. You may have had a great intention, and it just didn't come off in that way. It didn't translate in that way to the person you're talking to. So looking at how you impacted that person is important. And if you care about somebody and you see that you've had some type of impact on them, then in that moment, you can choose to continue to impact them in a negative way, or what they're perceiving to be negative, or you can choose to love them in that moment. And not saying that your needs won't get met, because your needs will get met later, after the crisis has passed. You don't want to beat somebody over the head with your needs when they're in crisis or when they're feeling hurt, especially if you're okay. You want to step back and choose to love in that moment. And that's really what makes the difference in relationships. Either they're going to last or not last. And so my thing to the couples that I coach is, do you want to be right or do you want to be in love? Do you want to be right or do you want to be married? And it's really up to them, because you can be right today and lonely and by yourself and out of your marriage for no reason, because you chose not to love in that moment. And a lot of that has to do with our humanness and just the things we've been through and our conditioning and all the baggage that we bring forward. And that's why I said we have to know that our relationships come to show us what our pain is and what we need to heal. And it's up to us to surrender to the situation that we're in so that we can receive healing. So knowing the impact that you're having on somebody is really, really important, because a lot of times we're just racing. We're just reacting and not really even paying attention to the person that we say we love. You know, and instead of moving forward and being present, we're in the past. Thinking about the past, talking about the past, how the person treated you in the past. And we don't know. Change happens overnight. I say it all the time. Change can happen overnight. It's the resistance that takes a long time. The resistance is what takes a long time. If a person is in their feelings, and you know, brothers, a lot of times women, we get in our feelings, you know. If we're in our feelings, it's so important for you to know and recognize the impact that you're having and what we're feeling, which may have absolutely nothing to do with you. We just may be in our feelings, and that's it. Okay? And for the sisters, when you see the brother struggling, trying to hold back, trying to get there with you, you got to stop yourself and recognize the impact that your words are having. This is how we choose to love. This is how we keep it cohesive. We choose it. Very important. Okay? So love is a choice. One of the things I wrote down from that chapter, which I love, and we just went through it, but I want to say it again, is, you know, instead of not choosing love and not noticing the impact, we say, I'm sorry, I know I've hurt you, but I would like to make the future different. I would like to love you in your language. I would like to meet your needs. It's important that meeting someone's needs is not like, you know, a problem or a challenge for you. It's like, I don't want to meet this person's needs. Why? You know, why? Because I met their needs in the past and they didn't do this. This is your baggage. This has nothing to do with the present moment. Nothing. When you're in the present moment, whatever the need is, because you want to move forward, because you're choosing love, deal with that. The present moment. So important. Okay? So let's move forward. Now we want to talk about, okay, I have a question here, and I'm going to open up the line because this is popping up, so I'm going to take this question. Hi, you're on Conversations with Goddess. M, you have a question or comment?
Hi, Goddess. You know, long time listener, first time caller calling in, right? And I'm loving your show. I'm loving your show. But first, my first question to you, Ms. Goddess, is where did you get that logo? The logo on the slide is like, you know, when you come to the BTR page and it's loading up and there's that play button or it automatically plays because your show is live. And there's a logo, there's a circle with a 90 by 90 degree triangle with some type of sphere in it. And it looks like some form of like six-sided hedron.
That Yusuf L does all of those logos and pictures and everything. He's a genius on that. So he does all of that. So, you know, Yusuf, he has the Natural Law Show here on the High Frequency Network.
Okay. I don't think I know any knowledge about him or his work or anything like that. But like browsing through the shows and I seen the logo, it just caught my attention. And then when I'm listening to what you were saying, I'm like, wait, she got a conversation going here. But this is the thing. Can I speak freely and frankly, please?
Please do.
Okay. Now, in your words, like to myself, I believe, do you know the story that went down about Cecil the Lion?
Okay. Talk to me about it.
Why is white America, right? You, because you sound like a person of color. I'm a person of color, born and raised right here in America, descendants of generation of freed slaves, and we're trying to make it better. Why is white America paying so much attention to an incident that happened in Africa? They're so concerned about Africa, right? And this is what I was trying to find a show or someone talking about it, but like I said, your show caught my attention. And why is white America so concerned about Africa all of a sudden now, and they're all concerned about a lion that passed, and there's so much other stuff that's going on in Africa that is so larger that the media has no fucking coverage of, which makes me went insane. And, you know, I was trying to, like, find a show about that, but when I found your show with this love talk and this goddess mentality and what you was bringing, you kind of zimmered me down that trap. I'm sorry, my name is Robert, by the way. That's Trap Robert.
Robert, thank you. That was my first thing I was going to say, what's the name? But Robert, listen, what I want to say to you is, first of all, please honor the goddess light here and watch your language. The second thing is, you know, I believe that a lot of times what's in the media is distraction, especially if it's not as relevant as other things are going on. And this is one of the reasons why I do this show, because for me, it's about us getting in tune with our spirit so that we know what's distraction and we know what's real. A lot of times we don't know because we get caught up in, okay, why is this happening? Or why is that happening? Or why are they not showing this? And why are they not showing this? We need to be in tune enough to understand that this is going on over here. So I need to pay attention to this and not this lion story that they're putting out here, because this is what they want me to see. And they don't really want me to know what's really going on, because there's a lot of little underlying things going on right now, laws being passed and all kinds of things that are going on that, you know, we need to be, that they, you know, there's a coverage that needs to happen. But for this show, you know, we want to stick with getting in tune with the spirit. They cover a lot of this on the Natural Law Show on this particular network. It's an amazing network that covers a lot of that. But on this show, we talk about getting in tune with your spirit so you know what to pay attention to and what not to pay attention to. It's all about you being and your inner being being connected enough to know that this is what I need, because your humanness, your humanity is going to jump out. It's going to be dominant. It's going to be angry. It's going to be like, what is this about? It's going to be fearful. And why is this happening? But that's why you have to bring your spirit in and really balance that thing out so that you know what to really be or who to be, and what to do and how to move forward when all of these things are happening. Because we're not gonna, the media is not made to show us the truth. That's not what that's all about. So our humanist has to stop focusing on it and thinking that this is what they need to do, this is what they're all about, they should do this, they should do that. No, it's a distraction. And so for you, brother, you know, you sound like you're very intelligent, very involved. And what I wanna say to you is tap in. I always tell my brothers, men, tap in. Go within and see what is really important. What do I need to be focused on? I'm a warrior. I need to be out here focused on the real war. And the real war is not on the media. It's on our community. It's on how we survive. It's on knowledge. It's on how we move forward and how we protect our community and educate our people. For me, that's the real war.
Okay, sister, I hear you. But, you speaking about the spirituality or the spiritual aspect of it. Like, I'm a person, I believe, like, in our ancient form and our ancient cultures, we were some form of, like, spiritual people. But I believe during the years and the centuries down the line, whatever happened, you know how the supremacy of certain races, I'm not going to say races because there's only one race, the human race. Certain supremacies mm-hmm. came out of certain cultures towards other cultures of the land, kind of like took us away from that spirituality aspect of our lives as being the original people. But I always try to find a way to come back to my spiritual zone, but for some reason it's like I cannot find, maybe that's what it is with my generation or the generation before myself, that we have a gap. There is a spatial gap within time and our mind and our physical being somewhere that we don't have this resource or this accessibility to go back to the spirituality side of where we came from. And I tried a lot of times, but I don't know how to come back to it. I went to the Bible, I was confused under that.
Listen to this.
I went to the Quran, I was confused under that.
Okay. Listen, quickly. This is your spirituality comes from within. Everything outside of you, even this show, even the Bible, even the Quran, all of these things are tools for you to use to initiate, to inspire, to remember. But the main thing is coming from within. You have to go within, tap in. And how you do that is in a quiet space. Right now, I hear you. You're very powerful. I can feel your energy. Your energy is very powerful. But we have to make sure that we're not so outside. This generation is being taught and programmed to be outside of themselves with the social media and the YouTubes and the this and the that and the other thing. So you really have to make a conscious choice to shut the noise off and go within. And you have to do it on a consistent basis. You feel that you can't do it right now because you created habits that are noisy. But when you stop and create habits that are quiet, when you start to take on practices that are inner practices and not outer practices, then you will be able to feel the emergence of your spirit, because your spirit is ever present. But your humanness right now, because of all of the outside activity and all the noise, your humanness is in charge. There's no balance. And so your humanness is like, no, I'm going to stay out here and stay in charge because this is happening, that's happening. I need to be out here. You know, it's part of the ego. And so what you have to do is get your humanness, your humanity in check. Now, there's no threat to your humanity because we're appreciative of our human side. But we've got to get that human in check so that your spirit can be in balance. Because right now it's all about the outside, what's going on out here. One of the things I tell the brothers to do when they come to me for coaching is I say to them, listen, stop. Stop reading, stop looking at stuff, get back to the inner. And once you get that balance, then you can go back to the outside. Because the truth is everything you need to know, you will know if you're divinely connected and in tune. And if your spirit is out front.
Okay, so sister, before I go, I got one question to ask, right? Because I was the last doctrine I was really trying to get into was Beyonce. And Beyonce was like literally studying a bunch of like Scientology doctrines. And like, I try to get into it. What is Scientology really? And how did this like, in your words, where do you think Scientology came from as a base of a religion? Because I seen Beyonce doing the Kali dance, the Kali Wall of Death dance. And I actually typed that up, and it showed me that she is a devout Scientologist. And I'm like, wait, so what does doing a Kali dance has to do with Scientology? Is it something where they're using some like spiritual energy towards with the physical world or something like that?
I'm not even going to try to answer that question because I don't know enough about Scientology, but what I am going to say to you is what I just said to you. Go with it. You need to know what's best for you. There's nothing or anybody outside of you that's going to give you the answers that you're seeking. Once you go within, you will get the answers, and the outside will just naturally flow into you and bring to you what it is that you need. Stop it with the following and with the finding. Go within. And when you get clear with yourself,
I understand
everything
where
you
from.
Need will come.
But my battery's dying, sister, and I would like to thank you very much for having me on and actually listening, you know, like it's so hard to find someone that actually listens and give you a valid answer. A lot of people want to give you an answer towards their point of view. Your answers were so like open-minded. There's so many different points and school of thoughts coming out from yours. And I would love to say Beyonce needs to take a lesson from you, girl. You know, other than that, you have a nice day.
You too. It's all about you. Take care. All right. Wow. So let's take a deep breath after Robert. Wow, amazing. Thank you so much, Robert, for calling in. Thank you for listening. Glad you came to listen. All right, so let's get back to our subject, which is relationships. And a lot of what Robert was talking about is relationship situations too, because, you know, sometimes when we're out of sorts or we're really trying to find that peace, that authenticness, that what is my path, you know, it's our relationships that lead us into that space. And if we don't feel like we have those strong relationships, and we're not relating to anyone around us, and we don't really have that strong mentor that's saying to us, go within, find everything, you know, within, and then let whatever show, when you go within, you send out a vibration to the universe to bring to you what it is that you need and want for yourself that is authentic. And so when we don't have those relationships, like he said, you know, people listen, but they tell you what their point of view, whatever. When people don't listen from the point of view, like what's best for this brother, because we were talking about earlier about listening to people and really wanting to support them. And so what I wanted to do with Robert was really support him and his needs and what he wanted to do. And so all of that is about really going within and going into the quiet, because being outside of yourself all the time, trying to find the answers, you know, it's not the ticket. Anytime I'm confused, or, you know, because for me, confusion means resistance, or if I don't know what to do, my thing is to sit still. To be still. And every time within that stillness, I find the answer that I'm seeking. And so we have to learn how to not be so noisy in our lives and really find the stillness so that we can find the answers. And then once we come out of that stillness and out of that quiet, it's amazing how the answer is just there. It just shows up. It's an amazing thing, but it's natural. We like to call it miracles and this happened and that happened. It's really not a miracle. It's really natural. It's our natural way. When we're authentic and when we're quiet and listening and in tune, everything we need for our path and for our life just shows up. And I'm telling you what I'm living and what I've seen. And so being in that space is key. Sometimes we just can't get it from the outside, especially if we're not in tune. Sometimes we just have to quiet our space. And a lot of times we don't like to do that. I don't know. We just don't like to be with ourselves in that quiet space. And it's so key to be in that space. Okay, so let's move forward. Let's talk about how do we choose love. Talk a little bit about that. Okay, we're going to go back to Gary's book. And, we're an hour in already. Okay, so we're going to go back to, and then we're going to take a break after this. And then once we come back, we're going to talk about the five love languages. And we're going to go through each love language. But I do want to talk about this, how we choose love. The in-love experience that we discussed in Chapter 3 is on the level of instinct. It is not premeditated. It simply happens in the normal context of male-female relationships. It can be fostered or quenched, but it does not arise by conscious choice. It is short-lived, usually 2 years or less, and seems to serve for humankind the same function as the mating call of the Canada goose. The in-love experience temporarily meets one's emotional need for love. It gives us the feeling that someone cares, that someone admires us and appreciates us. Our emotions soar with the thought that another person sees us as number one, that he or she is willing to devote time and energies exclusively to our relationship. For a brief period, however long it lasts, our emotional need for love is met. Our tank is full. We can conquer the world. Nothing is impossible. For many individuals, it is the first time they have ever lived with a full emotional tank, and the feeling is euphoric. In time, however, we come down from that natural high back to the real world. And if our spouse has learned to speak our primary love language, our need for love will continue to be satisfied. If, on the other hand, he or she does not speak our love language, our tank will slowly drain and we will no longer feel loved. Meeting that need in one's spouse is definitely a choice. If I learn the emotional love language of my spouse and speak it frequently, she will continue to feel loved. When she comes down from the obsession of the in-love experience, she will hardly even miss it because her emotional love tank will continue to be filled. However, if I have not learned her primary love language or have chosen not to speak it, when she descends from the emotional high, she will have the natural yearnings of unmet emotional needs. After some years of living with an empty love tank, she will likely fall out of love or fall in love with someone else, and the cycle will begin again. Meeting my wife's need for love is a choice I make each day. If I know her primary love language and choose to speak it, her deepest emotional needs will be met and she will feel secure in my love. If she does the same for me, my emotional needs are met and both of us live with a full tank. In a state of emotional contentment, both of us will give our creative energies to many wholesome projects outside the marriage while we continue to keep our marriage exciting and growing. I want you to think about that. Meeting my mate's need for love is a choice I make every day. In your relationship, are you making the choice every day to love? Even if it's not necessarily going the way you want it to go, are you making that choice to love anyway every day? Every single day, making that choice to love. We're going to take a short break. And we will be back. When we come back, we're going to talk about the five love languages. And we want to hear from you. I want you guys to call in and tell me what your love languages are. So if you want to call in, you can at 424-222-5250 and press 1 to comment. Okay? So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Without even trying, you make me feel like I'm flying. You make me feel like I'm flying. It's just you and the things you do. It's like your love is so pure that I'm never unsure of who I am to you or who you are to me. It's like, it feels like free like I never felt before. A feeling, you know, the one you can't ignore. No matter how hard you try, the praise you praise, the one that made you cry. You had to take a deep breath and let out a strong sigh. It makes you feel like back in the day when your mother rocked you in that old chair. It's like I'm there now with you, feeling all secure and sure of myself. Wow. That's deep. How just yesterday I saw you in my sleep, and now you're here, right here beside me, holding me so close. I can hear your heart beating my name. My life will never be the same. You inspire me with your love so pure that I'm never unsure of who I am to you or who you are to me. It's like, feels like free. It's like you encourage the goddess inside me to rise and shine. See, you're the kind of man that understands my mind, full of knowledge and wisdom and freedom to express. Well, you know the rest. It's nothing I can really put into words. It's almost like the birds that fly in the sky, free, but always knowing there's a nest somewhere they can come and take rest. You give me that. The feeling of being home with myself, but able to roam and always come back knowing that you're there to greet me with your loving arms and sweet charm, your tender lips and the way you caress my rounded hips. I better stop there. That's too much to share. But you inspire me with your love so pure that I'm never unsure of who I am to you or who you are to me. It feels like free. You inspire me to be a higher me. Every day is new.
So the last love language is physical touch. And we want to talk about this. Physical touch is a way of communicating emotional love. Physical touch is really, really important. And so these people who like physical touch, they want to be touched. They want you to touch them. They want you to hold hands with them. He says that physical touch can make or break a relationship for these people. It can communicate hate or love. To the person whose primary love language is physical touch, the message will be far louder than words. I hate you or I love you. A slap in the face is detrimental to any child, but is devastating to the child whose primary love language is physical touch. And the same is true for adults. Okay, the physical touch is very important. Very important for these children or these adults. So if you hit them or in a way of anger or touch them in with an intention of, you know, you're upset with them, then it's going to be devastating to them. And you're looking at them like, I barely touched you. But if their love language is physical touch, it's going to be devastating. So you have to be really careful with these people who have the physical touch. You don't want to touch them in a way that's not loving. Okay? So we've gone through all five of the love languages. And now we want to talk about a little bit about how we put that together in our lives. how we use our love languages to support us and our relationship. So we talked about a little bit about it, but we want to talk more about it, how to put it all together since we have the five love languages. So let's look at words of affirmation, and let's look at physical touch. So if you have someone who is words of affirmation, and you have someone who's with them that's all about physical touch, then you want to make sure that you, as the person with physical touch love language, is speaking encouraging, uplifting words and giving verbal compliments to the person with words of affirmation. Touching this person is not going to give them the same feeling as giving them verbal words of affirmation. Okay, because touching is your thing. It's not their thing. Okay? And then the person with the words of affirmation love language, you want to touch, hold hands with, and show lots of touchy-feely affection to the person who has a physical touch love language. Okay? You giving them verbal compliments because that's what you want, it's not going to work for them. Okay, and this is what we've been doing. That's why I said you can really tell without a person taking the test online, you can tell what their love language is because they're going to be giving you a lot of it. And your love language may not even be that. You know, my love language is quality time, and I have a person in my life whose love language is acts of service. So the whole thing is doing stuff. And that's all good and nice. But the time and the quality conversation and the undivided attention is what's important to me. Not the what you do. And like I said, it's not about, oh, I don't appreciate what you're doing. It's not that. It's just that that's not my primary love language. And so pay attention to the people in your life. Pay attention to what it is that they're doing or how they're acting. You know, are you out in public and they want to hold your hand and you're not really into the PDA? You don't really like the public displays of affection. But they really like the public displays of affection. So they're trying to hold your hand and you just want them to do something for you. You just want them to make a bed every day when they get out of it. Okay, so it's speaking the love language. And when you talk to them, you tell them, you know, this is my love language. I believe acts of service is my love language because when you don't make up the bed, it drives me crazy. So can you please make up the bed in the morning when you get out of it, and I will hold your hand, even though it's not my thing. And even though making up the bed is not their thing, we're going to work together and bring it together and love each other. Remember, love is a choice. And when you have all of these understandings, you can choose. And you can love. When you love, you know, someone and you understand all that it is to understand about them and how they operate and how they function and what they like, when you get it, then you can, it's easy to choose to love. But when we're walking around with our own baggage and we're walking around with our stuff and we're walking around with all of this, you know, all of the stuff from the past, it's just really, really difficult to choose love. When we're carrying so much, but know that even if you are carrying a lot of stuff, when you attract love, it's coming to heal. When you attract love, it's coming to heal, to restore. And even though the person who comes to heal and restore may have their own baggage, you've come to heal and restore them. But it's really about choosing to love, and how you do that is you get to know the person that you're dealing with and get out of that in love obsession that Gary talked about. Know that that's going to last 2 years or less. That euphoria And that in love obsession we have, you know, we're thinking, oh, this is going to be wonderful, and we're going to always have these feelings and all these fireworks and everything. You know, that's all wonderful, but it's temporary. And if you learn how to speak your mate's love language, and you're doing that throughout the euphoric process, then you can continue to have those feelings, but they'll be real. And they'll be based in reality. You know, he talked about you can be kind and loving and generous when you're in the euphoric stage, when you're in that in love obsessive stage. You can be all of that. But it's when all of that is over and done, when you get into the realness of the love, now you're going to see who you really are. Now you're going to begin to experience if you're really ready to heal. If you're really ready to take that journey to choose love. It's not about being in a space of, let me see if I want to give my love to this person, or let me see if this person is worthy of my love. You know, we walk around with that attitude. We can't attract love and keep it and maintain it like that. Really, it's about fortifying yourself and getting ready for the journey that you're about to embark upon. That's what it's really all about. When you choose to love, it is a journey. And it's your choice as to how that journey turns out. It's your choice if that journey actually works or not. If it's finished, if you make it to the end. It's about how you choose in the beginning. Have you gotten to know the person? Have you gotten to know their love language? Have you taken the time? Can you be with them with intention, knowing the impact that you're having on them when things are rocky? Can you pull back when you see that your mate or partner is struggling? If you're okay and they're struggling, no matter what your intention is, you know your intention was good, but if your impact has been something that they perceive as not good, can you pull back and say, I love you, I'm sorry, I know I've hurt you, and I want to move forward. I want to learn how to speak your language. This is how you choose to love. You choose it. When you're being disciplined, when you're being committed, you choose it. So when you go out and you're thinking about love and you're thinking about relationships, clear yourself of all of your past baggage as far as your old relationships. You never want to go out looking for love, first of all. You really just want to clear yourself of the old stuff and whatever you dealt with, and you'll attract whatever it is that you need next for yourself. But whenever you're out and love comes to you, begin knowing that this is a journey. This is going to be a journey to healing for both of us. When you start in a relationship, know change is coming. When you say you want someone to accept you for yourself, you are going to become more of yourself when you get into a relationship. When you're hanging out by yourself, you're saying, you know, I'm cool, I'm good. Yeah, you are. You're very good. You're cool. But when you get into a relationship, it's time to grow. Time to take it to the next level. Time to graduate from being cool where you are. So open your heart and know that love is good when you choose it. And if you don't choose it, it's okay, but know that it's your own baggage. Don't blame other people. It's your baggage. And you need to clear a little bit more. Even if you've attracted somebody who you feel like is like, what was I thinking? It's just for you to know what you need to clear so that you can move to the next level. We have to look at love differently than we have. We have to learn how to clear ourselves and know that when we meet someone for the very first time and we feel that chemistry, we feel that euphoric in love obsession, that it's only temporary. The real work is yet to begin. And we can choose to love whenever we want to. Whatever insecurities we have or fear we have, we can choose to allow that to leave us. We can release it and surrender to the process and not fight it. We cannot fight the process. It is key. So I hope you learned a lot on tonight's show. I really did want to give you a different view of love. If you joined us late, please do go and listen to the show because it's a powerful show and really teaching you how to love in a different way and to look at love in a different way so that we can relate to each other, so that we can nurture our relationships, so that we can build the communities that we need that are strong so we can survive and be happy and have joy. We don't have to be miserable. That's a choice too. We don't have to not be able to find the love that we're looking for. That's always a choice. But we have to stop looking for the illusion and the fantasy and enjoy the euphoric feeling in the beginning. Enjoy it. But know that it's temporary and there's work to do. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for those who have joined us in the chat room. I appreciate you being here. This is Conversations with Goddess M. I am Alani Shawnee, and you are listening to High Frequency Network. It has been a pleasure conversating with you all tonight, and I look so forward to talking to you again next week. I wish you all Goddess light and love for your week. Be blessed, be you, and be well. Good night.
Dedicated to all those people out there who have not found true love in their lives. I know sometimes it seems like love is hiding from you, but in truth, you may be the one hiding from love. You see, in order for love to grow, we must open our hearts and feel the love that we have inside. Love is available to everyone, so open your heart, and when love comes, reach out. Call out to love. Yeah.